Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lee and Keith's Real Talk episode. I don't really care what number it is. Lee, what's good, bro? How we doing?
I love that intro.
Yo, come
that
on,
intro
man.
Gets
come on.
Better.
Yo.
Hey, that intro gets better every week, man. That intro gets better every week.
Yo, I'm turning up, man. Let's go. Come on. We're getting creative this time of year, man. You know, you said the summer's usually kind of rocky, but hey, we hit the bounce pad and we bounced up, bro. That's the creativity level. So it is what it was. How you doing, man?
Man, you know what? I was doing good today. My fucking AC just went out. And these,
no.
Man, and this boy.
Tell me that.
Man, I'm mad in the mud right now.
Man.
Hey, I'm mad in the mud right now, but I'm going to get through it. My house still kind of cool because the sun going down and we kept it around about 70. But, yeah, man, my AC just went out, dog, and they can't get nobody out here tonight. So we're going to push through it, though. We're going to push through it.
All right, so I figure you probably got a central air system or something like that then, right?
Correct.
All right, see, me, I got a couple AC units. We have a central air upstairs, but my apartment doesn't have it. I got two AC units that I run, so luckily I can, you know, I kind of can go manually on the AC down here. But that's terrible, bro. It's hot to be, I don't know what it's like your way, but I know at least here today it was at least 86. It was a firm 86 at least, and it probably felt like 95. So, man, that's trouble.
Well, Keys, today it was in the hundreds today out here. Your boy Lee last week decided I went to the sod people. I was like, hey, I need one more pallet of sod so I can finish my yard. So I didn't think it was gonna be 100 and some degrees today. And I was like, a pallet of sod probably shouldn't take that long. Because I thought my homeboy was going to come. He stood me up. And then I was like, if I'm going to have to walk to this pallet for every piece of sod, I'm going to be out here all day. So I ended up having to go get a wheelbarrow, which made the time go by faster. But, yeah, man, I put in sod today. It was hot. Then I took a nice little shower. So I'm thinking I'm going to cool out of my house. And voila, the damn AC goes off, bro. So, that being said, I'm here doing the show with you. We're going to get through it. We're going to push through it. Everything going to be all right.
Yeah, that right there is like, that almost seems like a setup right there. Like, I was like, you know, the AC, like, the air conditioning gods right there, the HVAC gods just tried to strike your ass, and that's what that was. That's
man,
crazy.
Hey,
man, it's like, you know, I was outside doing yard work or whatever, and the perfect situation would have been to come in and be able to cool off in a few minutes, and it's like the whole system breaks down, and I would be beside myself. I can't.
Bro.
Oh, no.
I ain't going to lie. So then I called this guy. He was like, yo, man, I'm going to walk you through a couple things you can do. Keys, one required me to get in the attic. The fucking attic is about 120 degrees. I was like, man, stop it. Stop it, man. That's
yeah,
right,
you
got to
stop playing with that.
Man, you been in the attic
talking about.
I ain't been in the attic since like the early 80s, bro.
Man, that dude knows better than to even go in the attic. If you call them and ask him to go, he'd be like, yeah, I'll see you in October.
Yeah. More like December.
You know what I mean? So, but, yeah, no, you're right, though. You're right. On one thing, we're going to rock here. We got some stuff for sure. You know, we always have plenty to fill up, you know, 59 minutes or whatever it is, so we're going to get to it. You know, UFC 277 is in a couple of days, it's 2 days away, actually, at this point. And there's a couple other points we got to get through. There's a lot of fights. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be talked about here. The UFC 277 is definitely one, but I don't think we can dedicate the whole show to it, y'all. I got to tell you that. I don't think we have it in us to give the whole show to it, because the announcements that we have received in the past 7 days have been absolutely colossal. They have been astronomical, the announcements that we have gotten. We got actually the entire main card announced for UFC, I think 280, in a matter of like 3 or 4 days. That could give like certain folks a heart attack. Like, really, like that sort of level of momentum right there, that sort of level of the high level fights that were consecutively announced in that, like, I want to say 3 or 4 day span is unbelievable. So we're going to have to talk about it, whichever way you want to go with it. First, we can talk a little bit about the card this weekend. You know, obviously you have Pena versus Nunes 2 is going to be there. Moreno versus Kaikara France 2 is going to be there for the interim belt. We could talk about those fights. I know Anthony Smith is fighting Magomed Ankalaev. We could talk about those fights. We could get that. We could talk about that UFC 280.
Can
we
could
talk about
question?
Nate Diaz. Or, you know, we could talk
Can
about.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Why is the Brandon Moreno Kaikara France fight for the interim flyweight title? Did I miss something with Davison Figueiredo?
I don't know. I think what I assumed, my assumption was that they wanted to kind of put stakes up. Like, I don't know that he's injured. That he might be, I don't know. That I really don't know anything about it. But I didn't hear anything about him being injured. So what my assumption was, because when I last heard, he was ready to go. Last time I read an article about him, he was trying to fight Moreno for the, you know, for the fourth fight or whatever number that they're on now. It's, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, I don't know what time. They fought a lot of times. So whichever fight he was trying to do, that was what he was talking about last time out. So I thought he was ready. But what my assumption is because of the way Kaikara France has been performing lately, I think they want to put a belt on it because they want to give him the chance to get into the picture without feeling like they snubbed Brandon Moreno from getting his rematch. So that was my assumption. I mean, me personally, I'm kind of done with the Figueiredo and Moreno fights. I mean, they fought 3 times. I felt like Moreno beat him the first time. I want to say I saw him beat him the second time, and I don't think I saw the third fight, and I want to say Figueiredo, they said Figueiredo won that. I didn't see it, but I already know that I felt Moreno beat him 2 times, so I'm kind of done with that matchup right there. I'd like to see some other matches. Moreno already beat him fair and square, you know, more than once, so I don't really care about that fight. Yeah, Moreno beat him the first time in decision,
yep.
I thought. And then the second time, Moreno finished him. So, yeah, he beat him 2 times in my mind out of 3. So I don't know why that we would need a fourth fight. I understand he doesn't have the belt anymore, but let's just let the division play out. So I thought maybe that was what the UFC was thinking was, okay, Kaikara France has been going off lately. You know, he's been almost committed murder in the octagon, so let's let him get a shot. It's also a big rematch. I mean, if anybody saw Moreno and Kai's first fight, you know that that's a classic. Like, you know that that's a damn good fight. Like, if you want to put somebody on to MMA in the UFC, that's a fight that you will play for them, is Kai and Moreno 1. To me, that's a fight that you would have them watch, because that is a damn good fight. That's a classic. And so I think that's my assumption was that's what the UFC was thinking. It was, okay, the first fight was awesome. Let's run it again. Kai's been going off. Let's give him a chance to kind of shake up, you know, change this matchup, you know, so we don't have to do – maybe we don't have to do it again. And we can kind of let the division move around a little bit. So that's what I think. What do you think?
Man, I'm scanning the internet right now to see if was it an injury to Davison Figueiredo, man, that made this an interim title fight, but I don't see an injury. Maxwell predicts interim winner warns that nope. On the dark horse, that's Alex Montoya. Brandon Moreno done waiting for Davison Figueiredo, so I guess Brandon Moreno was like, yo, let me fight somebody instead of waiting for Figueiredo, so that's why we got this fight, which I love. I thought this fight should have been a number one contenders fight anyway, but I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Why are we, I don't know why this is being contested for the belt, but at the same time, it basically says whoever wins this fight gets the next shot at Davison Figueiredo. In a way, I'm kind of rooting for Conor France, man. I'm kind of with you on this, Keys. This will be the fourth fight between Davison and Brandon. Let's say if Brandon wins, are we? That means we're destined for a fifth fight. Who wants to see guys fight five times in the UFC? We barely stomach trilogy fights. And we talking about maybe five fights? I can't do it, bro. Come on, Kai Car France, man. I need you to win this fight. But I'm trying to find out why Davison Figueiredo isn't fighting and why this for the interim championship, but it is, excuse me, it is what it is. This should be a banger of a fight. I'm with you, their first fight was a banger. I think the second fight should be a banger, but sometimes second fights can sometimes disappoint. But normally second fights for flyweights, they normally put on a damn good show. So I'm liking this fight. And plus there's more at stake now that there's a title at stake. So, yo, man, let's get it. But if I'm being honest and I'm being objective, I love Brandon Moreno. I probably pick Brandon Moreno to win this fight. But I really want Kai Car France to win this fight so we can keep moving the division ahead. I'm with you on that, Keeks.
Yeah, that's just kind of the way, I mean, I'm trying to, like, it's just, is there a need to see guys fight a fourth time, like, at any point? Like, can we just stop it with a third fight? Like, and especially with these ones where it's like, okay, I saw Moreno win the first fight. We all saw him clearly win the second fight. He stopped him. Why, like, I'm also lost why we even went to a third fight. And then now you want to do a fourth fight because he lost the belt. It's like, how many times do y'all want to fight each other? Like, because once you fight the fourth time, you're going to want to fight a fifth time. Like, I already know, because it's like, if Figueiredo wins the fourth time, what, you're going to do a fifth fight for the tiebreaker 2-2? Like, is that, like, what are we doing here at that point? That's really the question. What are we doing here?
Exactly.
You just want to have the same guys fight over and over and over again until eternity? It's like, can we just have some diversity and let other guys come up? I mean, it's like, Kai Car France is right there. So, you know, that's kind of why, yeah, I'll definitely be rooting for Kai Car France to win, because I'm just sick and tired of seeing that same matchup. And, you know, I feel the same way about Juliana Pena and Nunes. I want to see Pena win again, so we can just not have to watch a trilogy, because I know that's the way they'll want to go. They're going to want to go, okay, if Nunes wins her belt back, you already know they're going to be talking about the trilogy the same night. And that's what they're going to push for. The UFC is going to want. And it's like, why do we have to watch the same people fight again and again for years? Like, it's just, it's overdone. You know what I'm saying? How many trilogies have we watched? Like, so many.
Hey, Keith.
And it's like, there's no need. Like, we got to see Stipe, and I always refer back to this because it was good, but it irritated me at the same time, because I feel like we could have done other fights in between this time. Like, we did Stipe and DC, you know, for what was that, like 3 years we had to do? Like, we had to take 3 years out of the heavyweight division, you know, title, to do that trilogy. And it's like nobody else got to fight besides Derek Lewis for the belt during that time. And it's like, really? Like, no other guys got to fight? Like, you had, I mean, of course, the heavyweight division is not that stacked, but either way, it's like you're still not letting other guys, like, you have to hold up just for the same two guys to keep fighting? Man, really? Like, you don't have to always have a trilogy. Like, you can leave it where it's at. Like, we don't need to have, like, McGregor and Nate Diaz fought 1-1. Do we need a trilogy? No, we don't need a trilogy. Like, you don't need to have a tiebreaker every time. Guys can just fight, and then it is what it is, and then if it happens down the line, cool, but why do we have to follow it, like, in sequence? Like, they always want to, like, do it back to back to back to back to back, and it's like, this isn't a, in my opinion, it's not as interesting as it's made to seem, having the same guys fight over and over. I want to see different guys get up there, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's why now, like, I was excited for Volkanovski and Max Holloway 3, but after seeing it, it's like, I don't want to see those two guys fight ever again. Like, I'm done. Yeah. Like, they fought three times. That's it. Like, I don't care if it's a different division. It doesn't matter. Like, they fought three times, and that's it. Like, that's all we needed to see. Let them go fight other guys now. Like, Holloway going to fight, you know, he's going to go be great and fight other guys. Like, Volkanovski is going to go be great and fight other guys. Like, maybe even in different divisions. Who knows? But let them go have other fights. Like, you don't need to just keep watching the same fights. You know what I'm saying? It's monotonous. You know what I'm saying? I think we need to see some of these other guys get their shot. You know what I'm saying? You got guys waiting on the sidelines for years and being like, where's my title shot? And they're probably the best guy in the division. And it's like, why doesn't he get the fight? You know what I mean? Like, he been deserved that title shot for a while. And it's like, he has to wait because the UFC had to do a trilogy. And it's like, why do you always have to keep having the same people fight? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, UFC 277, man, that's really my main point with that card is just, like, we could talk about the other fights. Like, there's some good fights on there, but as far as that doubleheader, like, with the title fights, that's my main point. Like, regardless, I just want to see, you know, Pena win again, and I want to see, you know, Kai win so we can move forward. You know, I want to see Pena fight somebody else next, and I want to see Kai, you know, fight Figueiredo or whoever is going to be the champion. I don't really care, but it just, I can't be watching the same fights, you know, over and over. It's like, it's not as interesting as you think it is. And I think, you know, if you really look at it, I bet you the numbers would reflect that. If you would look at the numbers of these rematches, I bet that it would reflect that it's not as interesting and it doesn't actually interest fans the way you think it does. So, you know, if you haven't noticed, a lot of these cards where you do these rematches, if you haven't noticed, they're always on cards with other title fights. They're always on cards that are stacked. It's never on a card by itself. Why do you think that is?
And I totally agree with you. But Keith, I think one thing that it just hit me when you said this, and man, you never really, you may have thought it, but neither one of us never really said it. Maybe the UFC ain't as deep anymore as it used to be. You remember how the UFC was super deep with talent? Well, we was like, yo, man, well, these fights has been good. Maybe once you get out the top 8, top 10, maybe the talent just ain't as strong as it used to be in the past. You know, maybe that's why we keep getting these trilogy fights and probably get 4 fights between Moreno and Davis and Figueiredo. We know flyweight at one time was going to be scratched from the UFC roster, but, you know, it's like, what are they doing? Are they doing enough to build stars outside of the top 10 fighters? Because most of the guys in the top 10, if you look at the top 10 in some divisions, we know all those guys' names. But once you get to like 11 through 15, it's like, okay, have seen that guy fight. I may have seen that person fight. Man, I don't even know this person. So do you think that maybe the UFC roster isn't as deep as it used to be, and that's why they keep forcing these trilogy and possibly four-time fights? Or do you just think it's lazy booking? I think it's a little bit of both. I'm kind of leaning towards lazy booking more than the roster isn't deep enough. But I just think, you know, that's something that there may be a possibility.
I mean, it could be a little bit of both because, look, the thing is this, is like if you look at certain divisions, they're more than willing to book those fights that would be kind of questionable. Like if you look at, you know, Shevchenko, okay, you know, Valentina Shevchenko has fought, you know, in her past three, four fights or whatever, five fights, six fights, a lot of matchups that, you know, they kind of just had to make because it was like, they're matches that they don't have name value, but because it's a division where you don't have, you know, star potential. You just kind of have, you have talent, but you don't really have any stars. Yeah, you have talent, but you don't have stars. That's pretty much, you know, the division that Valentina's in. So at that point, they have to just make fights. So I think the question becomes, why are they willing to do that sort of thing in Valentina's division, but when it comes to these other divisions, they want to just continue the same rivalry, and they don't want to do that kind of thing with some of these other guys. Like, for example, if you're the featherweight, you know, if you're, you know, Sean Shelby, Dana White right now, okay, Volkanovski, right, you don't have to wait for him to want to go up to 155 because that's going to be a little while before that is, you know, able to happen. Like, he's going to have to adapt, you know, he's going to have to put some weight on or whatever he's going to do. He's going to have to adjust and start training at that weight and get used to just being at that weight, and fighters have to do whatever their process is, which I'm sure is not, you know, an easy thing to do. You have to adjust to new weight class, but if he's really going to go up to 155, you still have to wait because the, you know, quote unquote vacant lightweight title fight isn't until October. So you already have to wait till October. That's 3 months away, 2-3 months away. And then now you're not going to book something right after. So you're going to have to wait at least another, you know, 2-3 months, probably at least 3 months after that for him to, you know, that's really early, like for the winner of that to turn right around and fight another fight. Like, Oliveira's been fighting a lot, but he doesn't have to fight every 3 months. Like, he can wait a little bit longer than that. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to. That's a tough schedule when you're doing, if you're fighting every 3 months, that's four fights a year. And if you're fighting at the championship level, that's a lot, man. Oliveira's, he's cool with me fighting, you know, 2-3 a year. Like, if Oliveira wants to do 2-3 a year, that's fine. Like, he doesn't need to do four fights a year. I feel like at that point, you're burning yourself out. You know, we saw it happen to Holloway. And so with that being said, like, you have guys there. You have Calvin Kattar's there. You have Giga Chikadze's there. You have Josh Emmett is there. Yair Rodriguez is there. You have Bryce Mitchell is there. So why? You know, that's just one example, but why would you be hesitant to book those fights for Volkanovski? Like, why not give him one of those guys in the meantime, you know, while he's, you know, training for 150 or whatever? Like, why not? Why are they, you know, I would like to see some fresh matchups like that. You know, a lot of people want to say, oh, well, you know, these guys aren't good enough. And it's like, well, how do you know they're not good enough? Like, that's really a question that I think about is, you don't know guys are good enough until you know they're good enough. Like, that sounds,
you know,
funny,
they're good enough. Exactly.
Yeah. And that sounds kind of funny, but it's really true. You don't know guys. I was kind of going back and forth with someone on Twitter about this. I think like a couple of days ago, last week or something, I said, yo, you don't, cause someone was like, oh, you know, he's too low ranked. He doesn't deserve a title shot. And I said, bro, it doesn't matter because look, the thing is this, if he's number 8 ranked, number 9 ranked, who cares? If he has looked great, why can't he fight for the title? Because the thing is this, you don't know if someone is good enough or if they can beat the champion until they beat the champion, right?
Exactly.
Because, and for example, what rank was Cody Garbrandt when he beat Dominick Cruz? I'm almost positive Cody Garbrandt was like number 8 or number 9 when he was able to challenge Cruz for the belt. And we saw how bad, you know, he beat Cruz down. So sometimes, you know, the rankings is not telling the whole story. You can't just go by, oh, you know, this guy looked like this versus this guy, so that means he's going to look like this versus the champ. It's like, that doesn't necessarily mean that. That's not true. Like, one thing that I know in MMA, and this is why I have to challenge myself with this point, with my own rationale, I have to challenge my own reason because of this point, is that no matter what I think about who a guy, you know, how a guy's going to look or who a guy's going to be able to beat, every fight is different, right?
Yeah.
Every fight is different, and you cannot just say, oh, he looked like this versus this guy, or he wasn't able to handle, you know, this guy when he was, you know, his jiu-jitsu here, so how's he going to be able to – that's not – you cannot just go off that and use that as fact, because anything can happen in these fights. You see these moments where – how do you even know it's going to get to that point in the fight? Like, you don't know that in MMA. Like, you don't know what sequence is going to happen or what exchange is going to happen before or during it or after. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. There's so many different factors. So it's nonsensical to try to count guys out and say, oh, they don't deserve a title fight. They're not good enough. And that's what I've seen a lot of on Twitter lately is, oh, like, you know, Josh Emmett isn't good enough to fight Volkanovski for the belt. And it's like, says who? Like, why is he not good enough? Like, why can't you just let him fight, you know, and then just see how it goes? Like, every fight is different. You don't know how Volkanovski – and Volkanovski is one of my favorite guys, but I'm still saying – but to be fair, you don't know how Volkanovski is going to deal with his style. You don't know how he's going to respond to that. And that's the way that's the thing that makes every fight different is each guy is going to – respond differently to the opponent that's in front of them. It's not a one-size-fits-all. So, you know, that's a big thing right now is, like, why do we have to see guys fight over and over again? Let guys get fresh matchups. You can't just count guys out. You should give them more chances. I think the UFC should be giving guys more chances across all the divisions. You know what I mean? Let guys go. You know what I mean? Let Chimaev go fight. You know, let's say he goes in there and beats Nate Diaz. Let him go fight the winner of Usman and Edwards. Let them go fight. It doesn't matter. Let them go fight.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Because, look, the thing is this. Yes, has he fought that many top guys? No.
No.
Who's the other one? Has Islam Makhachev fought many top guys? No. But give him a chance because you never know. Have both those guys look good and put on impressive performances? Yes, they have. So let them go fight and see how it goes. And then the fight will tell you they were where they were at, if they were worthy of the champ or they weren't. Don't try to tell the story before it happens. You know, it's like putting the cart before the horse. You know what I mean?
And that's the same thing happened to Johnny Walker. They put the hype train on him, and all of a sudden he started losing fights. It was like, okay, he really not ready. Same thing happened to Yair Rodriguez when he lost to Frankie Edgar. He wasn't ready. He had to go back to the drawing board. I mean, it's just certain things in the fight game that you have to play out, and you have to let fighters learn through experience. Let fighters learn through experience. Losing fights ain't a bad thing when you fight in top competition. You're not supposed to have a zero of 50-0 on your record when you fighting the top guys, because 9 times out of 10 you are going to fight somebody who has your number or has a style that you can't crack. Uriah Faber couldn't crack Dominick Cruz style, but he could beat everybody else in the division. Let me see, DC, he could beat every other fighter in the world except John Jones. DC, once again, another great fighter. He can't beat Stipe. But at the same time, when you go back and you look at, like, let's say, like you said, Shevchenko. they are allowing young ladies a shot at fulfilling a dream. That's how I look at it. Okay, you might not be deserving, but you are next in line, and here's your shot. And most people, that's all they want, man. They just want a shot. Give me a shot to go in there and test my skills against the best. They might learn something. They might come in there and add a new wrinkle to their game that the champ probably hasn't seen or another veteran fighter hasn't seen. Like when Francis Ngannou wrestled my man. I can't think of his name right now. But I would have never thought he would have came in there wrestling. But he did. So that was a new wrinkle to his game. But I'm going to jump to this real keys because I want to talk about this. I really want to talk about it before we get into UFC 277. That tweet you sent me today with Silva, man, that was so disheartening, bro. I know you wanted to talk about it, so go ahead.
Yeah, so, yo, this is what I was thinking about earlier, right, is that we've said many times, well, this was like probably like a half an hour ago. I was really, I mean, I've been thinking about this kind of here and there since I saw that. And I've always kind of wondered, like, as it's gone on. But, you know, a little bit ago, I'm like, why, you know, if I'm, all right, look, the thing is this, you have to, we have said it many times in the show, you have to help guys save themselves from themselves at a certain point. And he has gone way beyond that point, and I have no idea how this is being allowed. Like, how is this legal to even happen? Like, how is this, how is it legal is the real question. Like, I'm not even saying, like, oh, why is the fight being made? Like, how is it legal? Like, is what I'm, the point that I'm getting to at this time. Like, the fight is getting made cool, but above the fight, above, you know, like, the commission is really what I'm asking. Like, who's sanctioning the fight? That's a big part. But then who is okaying the commission that is sanctioning the fight? That's the part that I'm really looking at. And how is it legal for this to go on? Like, because, like at this point, if I'm his family, right, like, if you see three guys, oh, no, you see one, sorry, one, if you see a guy and he's lost his last three or four fights in the UFC by KO or TKO, me and Lee are on this show. Exactly. Me and Lee are on this show, and we were actually just talking about him last week, Frankie Edgar, because he said he wants to fight Cruz at Madison Square Garden, and I was on here last week saying that I wouldn't want to, I was honest. I said I wouldn't want to see him fight Cruz because that's not the fight that you think it is. Like, that's not, like, yeah, it looks like legend versus legend. Like, okay, you know, those guys, you know, you could say arguably, you know, from the same era. You know, that's fair play. You know, they're I would say they're probably from the same era. And okay, but that's not the fight that you think it is, because where Frankie is at right now in his career and in his, you know, his physical state and fight IQ, where he is as a fighter versus where Cruz is at as a fighter, Cruz will light him up, man. Like, that will be very bad. Like, I just don't think that's like the type of fight that you think it would be. Like, that is not, I don't think that's a winnable fight for Frankie. I really don't. Like, I don't think that's a fight. I don't think there's much he can do with Cruz right now. Like, Cruz is in my opinion on an upward trajectory right now. He's having a resurgence, and Frankie, you know, is on a downward trajectory. He's hitting that point where it's like, okay, like, you know, it's that time. And you know, you got to look out for your health. Like, he's at that point. Cruz is not at that point. Like, Cruz is finding himself, like, in my opinion. He's getting back, you know. He's rising back up, and he's feeling himself. He's putting on performances. So they're in completely different places. That's not a good fight. And, you know, so three or four fights, you see a guy, you know, take losses, and he's getting knocked out and this and that. You know, three, four times, me and Lee are on here the following week saying, why is this guy – like, we need to close this out, you know, like, this cannot keep happening. Now, somehow, Antonio Bigfoot Silva I don't know if I might butcher the numbers, but I want to say he's on a 1-1-12. 113 and 1 in his last 15 fights. Okay. And I want to say they said 12 of those he lost. 12 of those 13 losses were he lost by knockout.
Yep.
I don't understand how sickening. Like, if I'm a reporter, right? Like, this is a big reason, like, why. Like, I was a journalist. Like, you want to talk about asking the burning questions? Like, this is something I would be asking if I was a reporter. Like, this is the reason why, like, I'm not really into journalism like I was. Now I'm just, you know, a professional writer. I'm not really into reporting the way I was because you don't hear about the questions. Like, where are these reporters asking about Bigfoot Silva? You know, he's a UFC veteran. He was in the UFC for a long time. You know, formerly one of Dana White's fighters. You know, he's likely not under any contract with the UFC at this point. But where are the reporters asking Dana White about Bigfoot Silva? Like, where do you hear this? Like, guys saying, you know, have you noticed, like, what's going on with that? Like, have you talked to anybody that is, you know, putting these fights on, these other organizations? Like, have you tried to advocate for him or, like, stop these fights? Like, where are the reporters asking that? You know what I mean? Like, that's the stuff that upsets me because you should be looking at that. Like, if you're reporting on the sport, you should know about that. And you see it. Like, a lot of these guys, they see these reports. These are the same guys. You know what I'm saying? These same reporters, they're the ones that are writing these articles. They're editing the articles. They're tweeting the articles. They're tweeting about someone else that posted the article. But where are they asking the questions to people that might be able to do something about it? You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't see it. You know, maybe you say you stuck up for him, but I didn't see it. Where are these guys, you know, having conversations saying, hey, Dana, maybe we need to talk to this guy. You need to stop this. Like, yeah, he's not under contract, but it's likely that Dana White has connections to these people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could do something to try to send the message down the grapevine. You know what I'm saying? Even if you don't feel like you're in control of it, because you know it's not right. You know what I mean? It's like a guy goes on a 3-4 fight skid, and if he got KO'd all 3 or 4 times, the UFC, we're looking at it like, you know, it has 12 heads. We're looking at it like, how is this happening? You know what I mean? Like Tony Ferguson gets knocked out, you know, or Cowboy gets knocked out 3 times. We're like, yo, this is terrible. You know, maybe it's time for him. But, you know, Bigfoot Silva can get knocked out 12 times, and no one even bats an eye, and they just sanctioned him for another fight. They said he's booked against a guy. Bro, they said he's booked now against a guy. It almost seems like a fairy tale. This almost doesn't even seem real, bro. It's like, are you serious? You got him booked. I read earlier today when I was on the train, right, going into Boston. I was on the train going into Boston to go to the courthouse, right? And I read that Bigfoot Silva is being booked against a guy that I want to say his record is something along the lines of he's over 100 wins. He's like 100-something wins, maybe 109, something like that. It's like 109-3-1 or something is his record. I think a kickboxer.
Oh,
you're putting him against a beast like that? Like, he shouldn't even be fighting, period. Like, you see his last footage, never mind the record, but that just makes it that much worse. Like, it almost seems like it's done on purpose. Like, who is making these matchups? You know what I'm saying? Like, if this was the UFC, you know, I would want to see people protesting that. You know, I would want to see guys coming out. You know, I would want to see Daniel Cormier saying on his show, why is this being allowed? You know what I mean? I would want to see Aaron Bronster, you know, coming out and saying on his Twitter saying there's no reason why, you know, Antonio Silva should be able to fight anymore. You know, you should be seeing what's that other guy what's that other dude's name? The Mortal Kombat or whatever that show is called, Morning Combat. You should see those guys coming out. They should be coming out saying, why is this, you know, who is sanctioning these fights? Who are these commissions that are saying, okay, this guy's been KO'd 12 times, you know, in his last 13 fights, so we're going to put him in to fight more. Never mind the fact we're putting him against killers. Like, did you see his last round? You see the footage of his last fight? Yeah.
Man. Keys, I really don't have this really isn't a subject that's up for debate, because the funny thing is this, some of these athletic commissions, they'll suspend fighters for the smallest things, but then they'll go sanction somebody like Bigfoot Silva to fight. They'll go sanction Ben Lieber to fight in bare knuckles. It's like, have y'all not taken fighter safety into consideration, the wear and tear that they have taken in their ring? And we're not even going to talk about, Keys, the number of sparring sessions that we don't even know about, that we don't even see, how many times they sparred. You know, a lot of fighters now, they don't even spar anymore. I think they just go in, train, do they in and out. They don't even spar no more, so they don't have to take too much damage before fights. But these athletic commissions need to be held liable for stuff like this. Bigfoot Silva, 113-1 in his last 15 fights. His last six fights, he lost by KO. And the thing is sometimes KO, it all depends on how you got knocked out. How much damage did you take prior to getting knocked out? I guarantee you when he passed away, if they do an autopsy of his brain, I guarantee he's going to have severe CTE. And that's because of the sport he chose to do, but also the punishment he has put his head through and the trauma that he's going through with these knockouts. Ben Lieber was the same way. When I saw Ben Lieber towards the end of his career in the UFC, I was like, bro, this guy might actually die within the next 5 years because of the way he was getting knocked out. And it was like, bro, come on, UFC. Why y'all still setting this guy up for fights? And just like with Frankie Edgar, I love Frankie Edgar. But Frankie has taken a plummet, and the way he's lost these fights, it ain't like he been like getting decisions. It's been he's been knocked out cold in these fights. So these athletic commissions, I don't know what they got going on or what they rules and regulations are, but there is no way Bigfoot Silva should be sanctioned to fight in anything outside of professional wrestling, which is scripted, and some of the moves are real, some of the moves aren't. Some of them require you to take bumps, but at the same time, they ain't really punching you in the face, doing this, doing that. You know, even though it looked like it, they really not doing it. But to sanction a guy to be in a fight, just watch the video of the fight that Keys tweeted me, and that was probably a 45-second clip where the guy landed about 20 punches to this guy's head, and he didn't return. He may have threw 3 punches in return. Come on, man. This isn't safe. This isn't protecting the fighter. And where are his corner people, Keys? Where are the corner people? You can't rely on the ref and the ringside doctor to stop the fight or protect your fighter. That is your ultimate job as the corner people for a fighter, is to protect your fighter and look out for their best interest and make sure they live to fight another day. Bigfoot Silva should not fight ever again. Frankie Edgar, to me, should fight never again. Ben Lieber should never fight again. BJ Penn, never fight again. It's Alexander Gustafsson, don't fight again. His last couple fights, he done got KO'd, TKO'd. He ain't the same Gustafsson that fought John Jones the first time. Give it up, bro. I'm just saying, man, it's hard to take somebody's livelihood away from them because that's the way they feed their family. But sometimes as an athletic commission or as an organization, you have to be the one to put the hammer to the nail and say, look, it's time. We're not going to allow you to fight at our organization again. We're protecting you against yourself. And I think Diego Sanchez was another one. He may have won a couple fights here and there as of late, but when you really think about it, he was getting flatlined a lot in there, and they were still booking him for fights. So me and Keys ain't trying to say take somebody's livelihood away. Only thing we're saying is, as an organization and as an athletic commission, you guys got to know when to say when. And Bigfoot Silver should never be allowed to fight anywhere that got gloves on. If he want to go into pro wrestling, let him do it. But anywhere where his gloves and he's got to take punches or kicks, it's over. His career is over. Don't even sanction it. If somebody even try to sanction a fight with him, you should fine their ass because they ain't doing him no favors. And that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Hopefully, you know, what I would like to see is, you know, guys coming out and saying, look, you know, we're not, I mean, the way that it looks like it's going is that he's going to keep on getting booked for fights, which doesn't make any sense. But what I would like to, which we probably would both like to see, which we probably both, you know, we want to see happen is, you know, someone come out and say, look, you're done. That's it. Like, you cannot keep taking this kind of damage. You know, it's already been, you're already way too, you know, you've already taken way too much damage. So hopefully, you know, somebody can come to their senses. One of these, you know, league owners or organizers can come up and say, I'm not booking this guy anymore. You know, or a couple of organizations could say, you know, we need to stop booking this guy. Like, we need to force him to put the gloves down. You know, that he's not stable to fight. You know, he's taken far too much damage, you know, way more than he should have taken. You know, we've let it go on too long. And honestly, if I don't know how this would go. I don't know how, like, you one would go about it or what can be done. But if I'm his family, I'm probably calling a lawyer about this, to be honest. I'm probably getting in contact with a lawyer because it should not have been sanctioned in the first place. Like, that's the part that I would be calling a lawyer about is why was, you know, my father or husband or brother or whoever, why was he okayed, you know, by a doctor or, you know, commission, whatever. Why was he booked for a fight when you know damn well that he is past the point where he's physically fit and mentally fit to fight. Why was he allowed to be booked? So if I'm that family, you know, I'm probably getting in contact with somebody that can go through, you know, some kind of legal process and look into that and see, okay, have they done wrong by this man? You know what I mean? Is this foul practice at this point? Allowing him to go in there and take punishment over and over and over again when you know that he shouldn't be cleared to fight. You know he's way past the point of where he shouldn't have been cleared to fight. Still getting booked in there. So, I don't know. I don't know what's possible and what's not, but if that was me, that's probably something that I would at least be looking into because I would not appreciate that if that was, you know, a member of my family or a friend of mine or somebody I knew, and that was what they were going through. So it is what it is. But, you know, on that, I'd like to close it out and talk a little bit about UFC 280. They announced the entire main card in like 3 or 4 days time. You know, Charles Oliveira, Islam Makhachev, you got I think it's Benil Dariushin, Mateus Gamrot. You have Aljamain Sterling and PJ Dillashaw. You have Bilal Muhammad and Sean Brady. And what's the fifth fight? There's one more fight. I'm forgetting at this time. But there's one more fight on there. And that's a banger, too. It's either bantamweight or it's...
I'm putting it
it's
up
either
now.
Either bantamweight or...
Jan and O'Malley.
Yeah, okay. Jan and O'Malley. Right. Peter Jan and O'Malley. So, okay. So, that's crazy. What do you think about that, bro? What do you think about that?
I think the main card is dope. But the thing is with a show like this, you want to build up to the main card. I think they have to at least have three fights on the prelims that make you say, I have to watch the prelims. Because you want to go into the main card saying, ooh, wee. Boy, the main card better bring it because these fights on the prelims have been, woo, they've been burners. So hopefully they load up the prelims too. But I can't be mad about this main card. This main card is definitely what it is, especially the main event with Charles Oliveira fighting out Islam. Jan and O'Malley, I mean, that's the fight that I'm really interested in. So let's get it on, man. But once again, you always have to at least make the prelim card watchable. Because especially if you're on ESPN Plus, where you want people to go to your app and watch the fight, you have to make the prelim card just as good as, not just as good, but make the people want more when they get to the pay-per-view card. So let's see what they do with the prelim card.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about a prelim card so far. That's a good point. I mean, the fact that they announced all those fights in that small window of time tells me they probably won't load up the prelim card for a little bit. They'll probably give that time to announce the rest of the lineup. But I don't know, man. That's the only thing that I have to say. The only bad thing that I have to say about that card is that it's in, not that it's in Abu Dhabi, but just the effects that that has. Like, it's the time frame. Like, now,
2 o'clock,
you know,
in the
it
afternoon.
Becomes, yeah, 10 a.m. The prelims start at 10 a.m. And then the main card is like 1 or 2 o'clock. And it's like, man, I don't want to watch fights that early in the day. Like, I like watching fights, you know, late afternoon or dinner time at night. Like, that's when I want to watch. Like, you know, even if you want to start the, you know, I can do like a little bit earlier. Like, I mean, I like my late cards, but even if you want to start the prelims at like 4 o'clock, like, I could deal with that. And if you want to do like a 7 o'clock main card, like, I can even deal with that. But you're talking about a 10 a.m. prelim card, like, 1, 2 o'clock main. That's just, when I found that out, that really brought me down with that card, man. I don't know about you.
I think the UFC, you know, they got away from the time mattering, being important here in the United States. Basically, what they do is they base it on upon the prime time hour in the country they're hosting the fight. Because remember back in the day, they would just basically be like, hey, this event is happening this time so we can have our American viewers watching it. They got away from that for some reason. But I do understand that, you know, over there, you know what, they 7 hours ahead of us. And you're talking about we want them to start a fight at 10 o'clock at night, which is what, about 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 in the morning their time, which is kind of ridiculous. So you know, we do have to put ourselves in the shoes of the UFC being over there, you know, respecting their time zone and stuff like that. But I'm kind of with you, man. I just don't like – I'm not watching a fight at 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, I'll probably hop on for the probably the last two fights of the prelims and then the main card, but 10 o'clock is too early, bro. That's way too early. So, but then they decide to have a fight in Abu Dhabi. This is the thing we got to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't encourage me to watch the card at all, I'll tell you that. I mean, yeah, like you said, 10 a.m. Yeah, exactly. Like, definitely not the prelims. I mean, that might end up being, like, just a main card watch for me. You know, maybe main event of the prelims and then just go. Like, that might be the way I do that one. Because that's too much, man. The thing is that I don't like to be lounging, like, that early in the day. Like, I want to go and, like, get some sun. I want to maybe do some errands or just get out there and have a little bit of a day before I'm already, you know, before I'm kicking back or I'm on my couch reclining, you know, having a drink, watching fights. Like, that's something I like to do, like, you know, in the afternoon, you know, towards, you know, the point of the day where I've already kind of had a day. Like, I've already been able to do things and kind of get out there a little bit. Like, 10 a.m. doesn't really allow me to do anything. Like, that's like, you know, you wake up, you might, you know, have a little bit going on, then you're, you know, already chilling back watching fights. And it's like, that's just, that format just doesn't really work with my life. You know what I mean? I don't feel right doing that. Like, I'm not ready to just, like, kick back and watch fights at 10 a.m. That's a little bit too early for the kid. But,
yeah,
you know, it is what it
is.
I know, like,
when I was in Turkey, you know, Turkey 7 hours ahead. So, man, when the UFC pay-per-views will come on, man, we up at like 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 5 in the morning, depending on where they was at. And I was like, man, damn, it's early. But we was getting them live. We was getting them for free. So it was like, I really can't complain, but damn. But, you know, man, I get it with the time zones, man. I think cards like that, that's so going to be so big, you may want to think about your stateside, you know, your United States viewers. But I understand where Dana's coming from, too. I got to look at it through both lenses. But I'm with you, Keith. I'm not trying to watch UFC 10 o'clock in the morning, dog. 10 about 3? That's a lot. And I'm not going to start drinking to what, about 1? I mean, I don't feel good drinking 10 o'clock in the morning. So I can't even have a beer while I'm watching the prelims. I'll be drinking like a Gatorade or some water. So it's like I'm really not getting it in. So, but yeah, I'm with you, bro. They might have to work on that. We might have to have a happy medium or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I mean, if you could, I don't know. I don't even know how you go about fixing that, but it's just, it's definitely unfortunate. I know other time zones have struggles like that with cards that we like too. So, I mean, I guess it does go all the way around, but it's definitely, you know, it's not desirable at all. You know, like you said too, I don't want to have a drink at, you know, 11 a.m. in the morning or whatever. I feel like a loser doing that. So I feel like a straight up alcoholic. You know, if I have a sip of alcohol, you know, in the morning, having a sip of tequila with my breakfast, I feel like an alcoholic, man. That's kind of wreck to me. But
you can always use the excuse of it's happy somewhere. You can always say it's happy hour somewhere in the world.
Exactly. You know, it's 5 o'clock from there. So,
yeah.
You know, with that being said, I mean, we'll talk more about the card. There's certain things we didn't get to. We'll get to them next week. It'll likely be on next week. We've been rolling pretty steadily here. You know, I'm happy with that. Just want to say thank y'all to anyone who listened or has listened lately, listened at all. Appreciate y'all. And that's, you know, I don't really have much more to say. I mean, what happened?
Who you got this weekend?
For what?
For who do you got for the Julia Pena Nunez fight?
Oh, I got Pena and Kai.
Yeah, I got. Man, what about the Pantoja Perez fight? That's gonna be a good one.
Pantoja and Perez.
Yeah.
I'll probably go Pantoja. I like Pantoja in that one.
Yeah, I'm going Anthony Smith. I'm gonna take Perez.
Yeah, I like Anthony Smith as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Anthony Smith, I'm gonna take Perez. I want Kyle France to win, but I think Moreno does it. And I'm gonna say Nunez looks better in this fight, and I think she pulls it out. So I'm going with Nunez, Moreno, Perez, and Anthony Smith. And Derrick Lewis is on this card too.
Yeah, I actually have Derrick Lewis coming back and winning by knockout. He's gonna come back, get himself on a win streak again. Oh, get himself on the win column again.
Yeah, he normally dominates lesser competition. So, but he's the underdog. Pavlovich is the favorite. People, if you're trying to look for a bet, I would probably go put my money on. I'll probably go put my money on Derrick Lewis. And Arkhalov is the favorite against Anthony Smith.
Yeah, I can understand. I mean, both, like, Arkhalov is only has, like, one loss, if not undefeated. I think he has one loss.
Yeah,
I can
loss.
Understand. Anthony Smith's got a lot of losses, and Derrick Lewis, you know, is coming off, I think. Yeah, for sure. I think Derrick Lewis is coming off two losses, and, I mean, also against the best guys. But, you know, I figured the odds makers are looking at that. So, yeah, but I definitely think Derrick Lewis will get a win here.
Yeah. All right, man, let's close it out, bro.
But, yeah, like I said, that's all I got. I mean, the floor is yours. Like I said, everybody, thank you for listening to our show, you know, whether you have in the past or tonight or whenever, you know, 2 months ago, whenever it was. I appreciate y'all, and enjoy the card this weekend. You know, if you have any thoughts about things we brought up on the show, feel free to tag us on Twitter. You know, hit us up on Twitter. You know, we're definitely available to go, you know, chat, whatever you want to have questions about, what anything we stated here, you know, feel free to hit us up. And that's, yeah, that's pretty much all I got. The floor is yours, bro.
Yeah, man. Like always, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Lee and Keith. I know Keith don't like to do the episode numbers, but we are getting close to 300. So, you know, appreciate y'all. We've been doing this for a while. We do it out of the love for the sport. So next week we'll be back probably talking about UFC 277 and things we probably didn't get to tonight. Because there were some fights that came out tonight that probably was under one. Some fight announcements that came out this week that was probably underwhelming to some. But those were good fights that came out this week. We'll probably talk about those next week. But like we always say, take care of each other, take care of yourselves. And as always, Lee and Keith, we always end this show with a peace.